Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of TheContraman.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, John St. Germain of JohnStGermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic on lithomancy. Afterwards, we'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or rootwork as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Contraman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. How are you today?
I am quite well. I am quite well. I am full with mole. I had a great friend that made some mole for me today.
Oh.
Just moments before coming on the air.
How fabulous. I'm getting a little crackling on my line. Do you hear that crackling?
It might be me on mute.
I'm hearing a lot of crackling, like electrical crackling. Do you hear that?
I'm hearing it. I'm not sure.
You hear it too.
Where that's
all right.
Yeah, I'm
well,
not sure
we
where
may.
It's from.
Yeah, it's Miss Michael is saying audio not loading in the chat room. But Lady Marie Tarot says like a radio, cozy sound. So she's hearing us. Lady Marie Tarot, are you there? Audio took several tries to load, says Alchemical Artisans Hour. All right, yes, and Alchemical Artisans Hour says it sounds like static. We might want to do something about that because I'm hearing a tremendous amount of it, like static on the line.
Yeah.
And and I don't know whose line it is. What would you like to do, Nagashiva?
I'll have it call back.
You want to call back?
I'll hang up and call back. Yeah, I think
you will hang
problem.
Up and call back. Okay.
That's right.
So that will leave Papa Newt alone. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Or
John St. Germain is also here.
Okay.
I am here.
And what about Contraman Ali?
I haven't seen him yet.
He has not showed up.
No, I'm
okay.
About to talk to him.
All right. Let me before we hang up me, because if we hang up me, we're gonna be with no one talking.
I was gonna hang up you.
You were just gonna hang up yourself.
That's right.
Okay.
See if I can
I hate to do all this
now.
Technical stuff on air, folks, and I know it's taking time away from the show, but it is a lot of static, we can't hear, and we're going to try again. So Nagashiva, our board op, will go away. Bye
bye.
And I'll keep on talking. If you can still hear me, that will be great. Aha.
Ah.
The sound of silence. Okay, then. That was him. And here we are. Okay. So, I hope he comes back, and I hope he doesn't bring that with him when he comes.
Leave it at home.
Right, leave it at home. All right. So, I'm going to give some news here about what's happening in my world. I don't know where my co-host is. I may end up calling in a co-host to co-host with me, and I have a guess who it's going to be. If Contraman Ali is not here, I may ask Miss Michael to co-host with me. If she
I'm
says
here.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Oh, he is here.
There.
What happened to you?
I'm so sorry. I'm trying to call in, and I was having such technical difficulties.
Okay, well, you're here. Yay. All right.
I am,
thank you,
yay.
Miss Michael, for being on tap, but I got Contraman Ali. What a mess. Okay. Anyway, right now, just to give you some news from what's happening at the shop. Remember last week I said that our September newsletter was going to be a little late because it represented a huge amount of information, and it is out now. So if you are Subscribe to the Lucky Mojo newsletter. Look in your email box now. If you are not subscribed because you don't like to receive newsletters by email, go to the Lucky Mojo page at Facebook now, or go to the newsletter archive at Constant Contact, which you can get to by going to any one of the Lucky Mojo pages. It'll say join our newsletter or whatever, read our newsletter. Click that link, and that'll take you to the archive. What you want is the September 2017 newsletter. Why do you want that newsletter? Number one, it is the biggest sale that we've ever had. In fact, I'd say it's the only sale we've ever had in the history of this company. Rather than just having one product, you know, like Come to Me line of goods or the Look Me Over line of goods with a 15% discount coupon, which we do every month with one line of goods, this time we've discounted an entire catalog page. And that catalog page is the divination page. And Papa Newt, I'm sure, will post the link. But you want to go to Lucky Mojo Catalog and you want to go to the Tarot Cartomancy Tea Leaf Divination page. And that page, everything on that page, crystal balls, scrying stones, books on divination, dream books, books on divination, numerical systems for betting the numbers. My gosh, everything. Bone sets, bone set additions, in other words, individual bones that are bone set expansions. Anything having to do with cartomancy cards, tarot, everything having to do with pendulums, all on sale. 15% discount store-wide on divination products, including the famous Ouija board socks. The famous Ouija board socks and the fortune teller socks and the Mexican Lotteria, all September long. The URL is luckymojo.com/mojocatdivination.html. Okay. All of these things are 15% off, and they are on a first-come, first-served basis because some of the things that are being offered in this sale are one-of-a-kind. They cannot be restocked. They will be discontinued when they're gone. And some of them can be restocked, and we hope to do so. But at this point, what we got is what we got. Now, the other thing that why you want to look at this newsletter is that Nagashiva, Ernie Medeiros, and I, and particularly me, have been working on a website of mine called The Mystic Tea Room. Mm-hmm. The Mystic Tea Room has been online since 2009. It is probably one of my least often visited websites. People don't even know I have a website called The Mystic Tea Room, but believe me, I do. And I decided as part of this divination sale to update the Mystic Tea Room's gift shop, which is overlaps with and is the same as the teacups that are sold at Lucky Mojo. In other words, you can sell them at Lucky Mojo. You can buy them at Lucky Mojo. You can buy them at the Mystic Tea Room. It's the same teacups. When they're gone, they're gone. They are one-of-a-kind antique fortune-telling teacups. So if you want one, act now, because there aren't all that many of them available. Some of them, there may be one or two copies. Most of them, there's only one. And the Mystic Tea Room has been hugely upgraded. It is a fully functioning museum. It has lists of the teacups by makers, by nation, by style and shape, by name, you name it, by type of tea leaf reading, in other words, symbol reading, cartomantic reading, numerological reading, astrological reading, inside the cups. And all of these things that are there at the Mystic Tea Room are free to the public. And I expect everyone to get a big kick out of it because I put in a solid month's worth of work on it and thank Ernie and Nagashiva for helping me.
It's fun.
Okay, that's up with what's up with me. If you come by the shop, you'll see people busy working, and ask them about the teacups. we're moving them out. we're doing what we can to make divination more popular. Now, I'm going to say hi to Ali. How are things in your corner of the world?
Hello. I'm doing well. I do want to say that I've seen the teacups having gone to the store, and they are gorgeous. I've seen some of them, not all of them, obviously. And they are absolutely gorgeous. And, yeah, you'd be very, very lucky to get one of those. So highly, highly recommend it. On my end, things are doing quite well. I've been very busy this week gearing up for the coming up fall in a few weeks, which I'm always excited about. It's one of my favorite seasons. And lots of work as the summer is ending and people are preparing to shift. So lots of love work going on, lots of work in regards to success. People are starting new endeavors or they're going back to school. So success work and love work, lots of wonderful, beautiful scents in the house. In addition to that, I do want to also just carrying on with last week's theme of global warming. You know, Hurricane Irma has made landfall in Florida, so make sure to say your prayers. Also, don't forget the people on the islands that have been affected. So,
So,
a little bit of global consciousness there. Saying some prayers for the people who are having to evacuate or losing property and whatnot. A good time to light some white candles and pray for some help. And also try to help out in any way you can by donating or doing your part. It's always good to have a little bit of civic consciousness there. That's all I have to say in regards to that. But other than that, yeah, I've been quite busy in a positive way, I should say.
Yeah, that's a very important thing to mention. And there's a lot going on right now in the world. There's been a tremendous amount of hurricane activity, earthquake activity, and wildfires here in the northern Pacific area. And there are a lot of people who could stand some help. And I'm sure you will, if you have even, $5 to spare, do send it to somebody who needs it. We all have friends on Facebook. They don't all ask for help. But I would say that if it were up to me and I wanted to make sure that there was some place that my money was being used well and not being used to pad the expense accounts of the CEOs of the very large so-called charities, send some money to a local animal shelter that is taking in local animals to care for them while people are out of their houses. This is a big
Bless
need,
you.
And those are all volunteer organizations. You know what I'm talking about. I put a lot I put a lot of care into that, and I put a lot of attention into it. All righty. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a great guest today, and I'm going to bring him on in just a second. This is John St. Germain. And John is a well-known a person in our community. So I'm going to give him just a little bit of a build-up here. John St. Germain is the author of three really well-received popular books on palmistry that were published by Llewellyn back in the day. He also is the author of a book called Crystal Magic, which we had the good fortune to publish through our own Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches. And he is a reader, a root worker, a member of AIR, as our guests generally are. And he is a person who is very heavily into divination. He does a lot of root work, and he does a lot of candle magic. But I know John as a phenomenal psychic reader, and I want you all to understand that he has a lot of interest going on. He does a radio show. He's the voice of the Crystal Silence League, and this is on the Lucky Mojo Radio Network. He has a strong interest in religion, particularly Buddhism. But today, John is going to bring to us the subject of lithomancy, or telling fortunes with rocks. So,
yes. Oh,
welcome
yes,
to
yes.
the show. Welcome to the show, John St. Germain.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having me back again. Yes, lithomancy. Where do I begin? I am working on a book on lithomancy that I will submit for your approval and submitted for your consideration. And lithomancy is a very broad term. It doesn't just include pieces of stone. Because when we talk about casting runes, runes are often carved into wood and bone and not just stone. So also included in this, I choose to think about coins because coins are made of metal, which are stones, and they're engraved with emblems. And I'm devoting fully half of this book into divination with coins. And there's not much on that. If you do research, there's not much on that. There's very simple things like from flipping a coin to doing a three-coin cast is in I Ching. And there's not a whole lot on that. And I've done considerable work with coin divination over the years. And I realized that there's not much on that. I have a lot of material, not only on coin divination, but on protective spell work with coins. And and spell work with coins. Yes, so and the wonderful thing about lithomancy is that the stones used are not just tools of divination, but also they're magical objects that can be used in spell work. In fact, when you do divination, you are casting spells. It's part and parcel with a lithomantic divination that there's magic being evoked. And the stones are magical objects themselves because we know from crystal work that stones have memories and they remember things. And so I guess we'll get into this at some point when we do the panel discussion, but I instruct my stones before, and this gets into the question of do you prepare your magical objects? And I do. And I mean, there are some people that they'll buy a deck of cards off the shelf, crack it open into divination, and I don't. I prepare them and I instruct them in what to do, and especially with things like stones and lithomantic tools of divination. I'll tell the stone, I say, "This is your job. This is the information I want you to go out to seek, and this is the job I want you to do." And I do this with every stone, and I will smoke it in a conditioned incense. Special for that stone condition, and I instruct that stone what I expect from it. And I found that
I'm just going to break in a minute because you're going a mile a minute, and I got some questions here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm very excited about the topic. It's something I really love. I love lithomancy. I love stone.
It's a great topic. First of all, I want to put a little footnote in on coin divination. I don't believe that you have been at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival when Madame Pamita has been there doing her state quarter divination. But if you're going to mention coin divination in that book, you need to check out Madame Pamita and state quarter divination. And actually, I'll be modest here. It was an idea that Nagashiva and I discussed with her, and she developed it and ran with it, and it's fantastic. So you want to make sure you figure that one out.
We should include
number two.
It.
You should, and because it's really something. And but what it is every one of those state quarters has a picture on it.
Sure,
you know,
it
it's a horse, it's a tree, it's a something. They're like they're like divination symbols. Okay, that's and of course there are 50 states, and so that makes it a professional level set. You know, because you've got that many things. Right. All right. That's number one. Number two. I'm going to just throw in a little bit here about lithomancy and gemstones. There are several types of lithomancy, and I'm going to run through them just for our listeners. Number one is the inherent gemstone. In other words, the crystal, the gem, has a meaning. You know, green aventurine is associated with money. Rose quartz is associated with the heart and love and so forth. So you could be casting stones and know their meanings based on books such as John's original book, Crystal Magic, which has a huge list of the stones and their meanings. You can also do what's called a blind sortilege, where you have the stones in a a bag, and the client reaches in and grabs them and spreads them out. And you would then read them according to what they grab, but the ones they didn't grab would not be read. That's not a casting. That's called blind sortilege, because they're not looking. They're just picking. There's also what's called sighted sortilege. So now you have a bowl full of gemstones, all different colors. Client doesn't necessarily know the meanings, but you do. And you say to the client, I want you to pick five and put them in any order you want, and then you read them, or three, or whatever it might be. And there was a guy who used to...
Brian Howard.
Thank you.
I read your mind.
You read my mind. Brian Howard developed this system in England, and it is phenomenal. And it is my favorite method of gemstone divination, because you can put in dozens of stones that you know the meaning to, but the client just picks them out based on the color, the shape, the form, and you can read them. It's a fantastic form of sighted sortilege when the client is in your presence, obviously. Now,
I'm going to discuss Brian's method in my book. I'm going to discuss it.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic, because his method deserves much wider application. It is
It's pretty.
Thank you. It's very pretty. And I knew I was not the only one who knew his stuff. And of course, you know it, too. Now, the other one I want to mention, because we put a picture of this up when we advertised the radio show. You, John, have a system of what looks like river rocks that you have painted designs on.
Right.
I'd like you to tell us about that for a moment.
Oh, the history of that is very interesting. That is one of many symbol sets called witches' runes, and the history of that is very interesting. I was first introduced to that by a man named Carl Heron, who is sometimes known as Brother Shadow.
Brother Shadow,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and Carl had learned those from a New Zealand psychic named Richard Webster, who's written about 30
of
million
course.
Books for Llewellyn.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Richard Webster had written in a newsletter that's mainly aimed at psychic entertainers without any credit whatsoever, and called them witches' runes. And Brother Shadow learned them from Richard, and he made these beautiful little hand-painted little stones. And they were found rocks, because Brother Shadow or Carl Heron worked outdoors as a basically, as a tour guide for the woods. He'd get take children out in the woods, and not in a creepy way, but he would show them the forest. And he had a little elf cabin, and he'd bring them in and tell stories. He was a storyteller, and he made these wonderful little handmade items for people. And he may have made maybe, it depends on who you ask, between a dozen to two dozen sets of those. And I have a set of them, and I had read that description by Richard, and I thought, well, okay, it's another set of casting stones. But until I saw Carl actually give a reading with them, I never knew how powerful they were. He told little stories about them, and those little stones he made them, they were like little landscapes, paintings on every stone. And I said, Carl, I got to have a set of those. And he gave me a set, because Carl was a good man, and I'd give him some of my stuff, he'd give me some of his stuff. So, and I still have those, and they're among my prized possessions. So I said, I want to make my own, because I don't want to throw his, because I don't want to wear them out, and because they're like little mini, it's a work of art. So I made my own, and I added some of my own symbol. But now I started to research these, and there's a book called Lid Off the Cauldron by a British woman named Patricia Crowther, who's written many wonderful books on witchcraft back in the 70s. And there they are, the witches' runes, that same symbol set, with basically the same meanings. But what is very wonderful about that is the Brother Shadow, when he made his set, he called them the Witch's Runes of Bilitis. and built this entire mythology around them. And he had this this wonderful poem, and if you see the symbol set on there, you can see that he said, the sun is for he, the moon is for she, the black stone is for misery, the spears that cross stand for strife, the locking circles are love for life, the birds bring news, the waves will gather, the branch for new starts that matter. And what a wonderful thing to say before you cast the stones. And Brother Shadow said that rhyme is lost in antiquity, but I suspect that Carl wrote that. Because with Carl, you cannot tell what he made up and what, you know he would start talking to you and you realize he's in the middle of a story. And Carl is still alive. He's in a nursing home in Florida right now. He's not doing that well, but he's still lucid.
I have a quick question about the symbols
here. Sure.
Are these is there a particular mythos that the symbols are drawn from? Where do the symbols come from? Did he invent them,
Patricia,
or are they
no,
related to
Patricia
something?
Crowther in Lid Off the Cauldron says that they were ancient when she learned them, and that they were passed down from mother to daughter.
I
don't know.
The answer is Carl Heron, a.k.a. Brother Shadow. That was his professional working name. And truly, I'm sad to hear that he's not doing well. He is an older man. He is a huge foundational person in my understanding of divination. His storytelling,
yes,
as you said, was remarkable. And you never knew when he would start a story. You'd be sucked into it, and you'd go,
yeah,
"Whoa, where is he going?"
Yeah, you're like, "What?" Yeah.
He
reading, he told it as a story. You know,
he
didn't just randomly tell you this. You know, this is the high priestess. Is that he composed a story, and it was about you.
It was about you,
and
it was. He also could burst into rhyme anytime. He was a very talented person. Now, Patricia Crowther, though, started with these symbols, as far as we know. Richard Webster also mentioned them. So we don't really know who. I mean, if Patricia Crowther did get them from somewhere, she's, you know, that's good. But as Miss Michael said, in the chat room, her book was published 63 years ago, so it's already getting old, right?
Yeah. So it's been
in any case, what we know about this little lithomancy set that you use is that it is a set of symbols that are used for this particular thing. Calling them witches' runes is a bit odd because they aren't runic in the sense that they bear no relationship to the runic alphabet, the Futhark. I think. And I suspect that the use of the word runes was an attempt to appropriate a kind of mystique. I wouldn't call them that. You know what I'm saying? They don't look like runes in the sense that if you've ever looked at the Galdrabach or any of the stuff, if you would have the book Trolldom or whatever by Johannes Garbach, these are not runes. But they are called witches' runes in this book. And so we've kind of adopted that name. But they are powerful symbols. They stand for different aspects of life. Like most symbol sets, they attempt to cover as much of life as possible. And, right? That's about what, you know, And I would not be surprised if the term witches' runes was not originated by Crowther, but because I don't think they would have been called runes. I just think that was a word that she picked. But the pictures,
and
the symbols, I don't know.
The symbols you find in many of the sets of witches' runes, you know, sun, moon, cross spears, linked rings. You find that because there's another set that's more popular that seemed to come from Wales that are called witches' runes, and they have planetary symbols in them as well. The planets that were known at the time. Which were, I think, five planets that were known at the time, so you find those. Now, as for the word rune, it has an interesting history. You know, it is of Norse and Germanic origin, and it can refer to the symbols itself. It also means mystery or secret discussion. And it can also mean runa, which is an epic story. And so it's a very flexible term.
I definitely agree on that. Let's go back to, though, with the idea of reading stones for people. So let me bring Ali into this. Ali, do you ever read rune stones? These would be the stones with Futhark, or do you read any form of stone reading?
I will confess here that I don't often in my modern-day practice. When I was younger, I had a brief flirtation with the Futhark ruins, and we've talked about my kind of magical past. you and I have, and I worked a little bit with the Plutarch Rubric, and then as kind of a historian, tried to trace and learn more about them, and found really the kind of the modern day of the nation. While it's a workable system, it's very different from how ruins were really used.
Yes.
And so I kind of moved away from it, but I still have a deep respect for ruins in particular. I don't work with stone divination outside of, I would say, bone divination. There are stones in my bone divination set. And there's a lot of kind of earth components into some of the stuff I do. Geomancy in particular has certain stone components. There's a set of dice or rocks that are sometimes thrown in order to create the figures of geomancy, but it's usually not the objects themselves that are divinatory or part of a sortilege, but the figures that you get are the geomantic figures. And then, of course, a bone divination. There are stones and rocks that are in there, but it's kind of a separate set. The closest I've ever come is the Plutarch ruins back when I was like in middle school. I was really young. And
hard
was
to think of you as young.
I know. I have a hard time thinking of myself as young. And I remember I was gifted this set, and it was, and I read Edred Thorson's books, and all those books back in the day, and Bloom's book. And then I remember coming across people who actually worked with ruins, and they're like, yeah, this isn't really how it's done. But it is a very workable system. It's a very interesting system, but it's kind of its own fascinating thing. But as a whole, no, surprisingly not for an earth sign tourist like myself. Bone divination is the closest I come to it today.
Mm-hmm.
Or kind of using geomancy with rock sortilege.
Right. Well, you mentioned somebody who was very important, Ralph Blum, and the Futhark rune set that was done fired clay tiles with a blank, because that's how they were cut out of the clay.
I have a set of those somewhere.
No, same here.
But those are real interesting because he kind of developed a reading system, which he kind of was inspired by the I Ching to create his reading system, and he admitted as much. Because he was Jewish and because of anti-Semitism on the part of Stephen Flowers, a.k.a.
Thorson,
Eldred Thorson, and he's an anti-Semite, he began to say, this is all wrong, and he was going to do his own version. And because he didn't like the idea of a Jewish person handling what he decided was a Nordic method.
Yeah,
of course,
he was into the whole Aryan stuff.
Oh, dear.
The Aryan, the Völkische movement reared its ugly head. But all I can say is, fuck him. You know, because I'm...
I'm totally with you.
So,
this is something that's not often understood about Thorson, but it's in his writings, especially if you read some of the stuff he writes. The Aryan racial language definitely is there. And he is just super anti-Semite. Yeah.
So, but I like Ralph Blum's method because I was very familiar with the I Ching. There's another method that's kind of useful, which is to take the little bone Galdrabach discs and throw them, and some will land heads and some will land tails, and you can also get messages that way. Those are carved on bone, but of course they're carved in Kathmandu, and you know those Nordic purists would have a trouble with the idea of Vajrayana Buddhists carving their Futhark runes, but whatever. You know, it's a big world out there.
Whatever.
It's a very big world. So, anyway.
Well, you know, when Runic Palmistry came out, a lot of people got online and criticized and said, that my knowledge of the runes was simpleton. I was a simpleton, and it was simplistic and all of this. I thought about responding, but I decided not to. I said, no, Llewellyn's restrictions on what I could discuss was simplistic. My knowledge of the Futhark is extensive and deep. And if you want, I'll talk to you about it until your eyes cross. But, you know, what Llewellyn, editor, explained to me, said, our target audience is high school age girls.
Yeah, right. I hear you.
And,
well, let's pass over that and get back to what we're really about. Wait, now, there's a whole lot of work around the idea of casting. And I wrote a book called Throwing the Bones, which I would like to mention here. And that book, Throwing the Bones, is about casting different number sets. In other words, casting three, casting, you know, whatever, 28, and getting answers, right?
And that's what's wonderful about lithomancy.
Yeah. Well, lithomancy...
Because you can do two stones or three stones or 100.
Right. Now, the set that you use, the painted set, how many stones are in that?
12. And I'll tell you that I expanded on Ms. Crowther's set. I added some of my own. I added some symbols of my own. Over time, it occurred to me that I needed basically to suit my style. And so I added to her set, I added a snake, which indicates the rival with opposition. I added a black stone and a white stone. And I added a scarab to indicate.
Crowther started with 8?
She started with 8. And and I added 4 more. And so I added a snake and a scarab. And I added something that looks like a little sperm for fertility and for creativity. And yeah, these just came to me.
That's cool.
I did 5, I guess. I think I have 13 because I have a black and a white stone for basically for casting lots.
Oh, now you're up to 13. Okay.
It's 13. I'll count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. I have 14. Yeah. I have a brown stone. I have like a clear brown stone that represents the questioner. And I have a three stone set. That's apart from the rest. It's a brown stone, a black stone, and a white stone for a very simple method that I've actually described in the CSL newsletter.
Right.
Because you can take a black stone and a white stone and any of the other stones. It represents a part, you know, say someone's talking about money, you can take the luck stone or the money stone, which is the corn, the black and the white stone, and cast it. And or they're talking about love, you can take the double ring, the white stone and the black stone, and cast it and get a yes or no answer.
I see. Okay, well, our music is coming up, but I got one more question. Do you sell these stones that you paint? Yes or no?
No, not yet.
Okay,
not yet.
No, not yet. Stay tuned, folks. When he sells them, we will have him back on the show, and he'll be selling them then, I know. All right, let's turn this over to Papa Newt. He's going to bring on our first reading.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, and this week's special guest, John St. Germain, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected among those who filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo form at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from the area code of 423 in Tennessee. This is Annabelle. Annabelle, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Yes, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for allowing us to aid you in your situation. Now, looking at your information, you have not had any readings with Ms. Kat or Conjurman Ali or have gone to any other readers on this situation. Is this correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. And she writes, I've been looking for a new job for a few months now, and I am beginning to get frustrated. What can I do to attract the best position for me, and what can I do during the interview process to gain some advantage? Turning back to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. Hi, Annabelle. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions, but I'm getting the opinion here from what you wrote is that you don't particularly want a reading. In other words, you don't care if you're not asking, is something wrong? You're not asking where to go for the best job. You're asking for what you can do, and so you're asking for root work advice. And that is perfectly fine, and we don't need to do a reading on it. Is that, am I correct?
Well, it would be great if maybe you all could look at the situation. I'm feeling a little stuck, and I don't really know why, if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something, baby. You'd get better service from us if we had all three of us giving you spells. But I'll throw a card on it. I'm going to throw a card, but then I'm going to just talk about what I'd recommend. And I think we should all just limit ourselves to a little bit, because what we really want to do, your question was, what can I do to gain an advantage? And there are a ton of things you can do. Okay. So the card I have, and I only have the one card, I'm just throwing one card on this, is the Ace of Wands. The Ace of Wands is a card that says, be strong, be brave, eat and exercise, use naturopathic healing, and carry your strength with you. It's the hand of God holding a wand. It would be the Ace of Clubs if it was a playing card deck. There's a little castle in the background, a little river, some trees, very nice landscape, and basically this says renew yourself. So the only advice that I would give off of this card specifically is a fluff up and puff up your resume, because it says renew yourself. But now,
okay,
because it is the Ace of Wands, I'm going to give you some advice about what kind of root work you could do. Number one, because it's the Ace of Wands and has leaves on it, we can talk about herbs. So the herbs that are used in job getting tend to be a very common set. One of them is five-finger grass. Five-finger grass is an herb that's used to get people to grant you favors. Another herb that's used in job getting, it depends on what field you're in. And let me ask you that. What field is this in?
I'm in the IT field.
IT. Okay. Well, I was going to say sage, and now I'm going to say it again. I wouldn't have put in sage if you were like looking for a warehouse forklift driver's job, but I would put in sage if you're looking for something that's primarily intellectual. I also am going to put in bay leaf, because that is also for your mind and head. Sage is for your wisdom. And so now we have three herbs. We've got a little cluster there. You can take and make those herbs into a tea. All of those herbs are drinkable, okay? You can also use them in a tea bath for yourself. The other herbs that are used in, or minerals, I should say, that are used in attracting a job is salt, very common, and gravel root. Now, gravel root is a little strong to drink as a strong tea, so you're going to make it weak, but you can bathe in it. The gravel root is primarily used medically to move kidney stones along. It's a diuretic. So if you make it too strong, it'll be bitter, and it may have a medical effect on you. The other three, pretty mild. But so put in a little bit of gravel root. Drink it, bathe in it, and carry those with you with salt. So now we have five things, okay? And put them in a little bag, carry it with you. Gravel root and salt alone are used by many people to get a job. They are, even salt alone is used to get a job if you're trying to be hired at some place where they hire, you know, day workers outdoors. You literally cast salt at the foot of the person who's hiring, look him in the eye, and he's more likely to hire you than anyone else. But you're going to be in an indoors environment, so you can't be throwing salt on people's carpets. You might even be applying online. So now when you say, oh, I'm applying online, what are you going to do? I would at least take those herbs with that little bit of salt, make a tea of it, and bathe your hands before you actually send your application in. In other words, any form you have to fill in, any PDF you're sending them, whatever it is, you want to use that as a little hand wash. A lot of people will use it, what they call a basin wash. They'll make a weak tea, drink a little bit of it, and then just a swallow, and then wash their hands and face with that tea for preparation for a job. And this can be done for any kind of work, love work or any other. But what you'd like to do is have yourself prepared when you go to work. Now, when you work at a computer to put an application in, it's very common not to be able to oil your keyboard or oil your hands. You're not going to put powders on your keyboard. So some people will burn a candle or an incense around their workspace when they're applying online. I personally prefer to use this little old-fashioned face wash and hand wash and then go to type with clean hands. And that's just me. But everyone does it differently, and we all have our own ways of working. Now, next thing I'm going to ask you, when people are going to hire you, do you have a website, a URL that you direct them to?
No, just primarily giving my resume.
Just giving your resume. Do mm-hmm. you have a Facebook page or any social media that they might go to?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like you to do something to perk that up, to make you have a subconscious, magical, hire me look. Do you know how to use Photoshop?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to take, maybe it's a picture of you, maybe it's a something, whatever it is that you can use as your profile at Facebook, or you can use, if you have a web page, this goes for anybody who does any of this kind of work. Blow the thing up, the picture up, real, real, real big. Blow it up to the pixel level. And then you're going to put into it a sigil, but at the pixel level. You're going to use the pencil tool, and you can put in the success sigil, which is $$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$$ put that in a color that is almost the same as the background. Use your color selection tool, your eyedropper tool. Pick a color that when you shrink it back down, it won't be seen. But spend the time to do that with your little pencil tool. And you can even put a message in, hire me, or whatever. And no one will see it. By the time it's cut down to Facebook, it's an essence of an essence. It's a pixel of a pixel. But you want to do that with your work that you want people to, it magically entrances them, but they don't see it. They don't know that you've done it, okay? And that is called the success sigil. Do it very, very shaded colors that are just a tiny bit different. All right, now I'm going to turn this over to John. Maybe he can do you a one-card reading or a stone reading, and then he's going to give you some advice on how to get hired.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That's all really good advice. Sorry about all the noise. When you throw stones, they're going to make noise. I cast inside a braided bridle, too, and they've got charms and stuff on them, and they all clack together. Annabelle, I'm going to tell you, a few things came up here. I want to address what Kat said about the creative approach. The little squiggler came up right next to you, and it means that whatever you're going to have to do something very creative. Whatever everybody else is doing, do something different. You know, research whatever everybody else is doing and do something totally different. You're going to have to do something to stand out. Be very mindful and very honest with yourself about where your attention is going. Keep your attention off of distracting relationships. Look at the relationships in your life and seeing if a lot of your attention isn't going to those relationships. And if there's relationships that are really distracting you and taking a lot of your attention, a lot of your focus away from work and from career, they've got to go. I'm going to tell you that the sun came up next to the scarab that's braided into my witch's bridle, which is called. It sometimes means you got to shine a light on your family, the ancestors. And since the sun was reversed, it means that you might need to shine a light on destructive family patterns, patterns of behavior that run in the family that you may have even unconsciously absorbed. Look at destructive family patterns that may be holding you back, you know, self-sabotage. Things come in cycles, it seems, too. The moon is very close to you. So there may be cyclic times in your life where things are easier and times in your life where things just don't work. Push forward when the cycles seem to work in your favor. Be mindful of messages from your spirits and ancestors, too. So also, in terms of embedding secret messages into your website, an old trick we used to do, like with keywords, you'd write the text in the same color as the background. And you can do the same thing with magical spells on your website. And the only way you can see them is if somebody goes in and highlights them. So you can put magical symbols and spells on your website inside of pictures, as Kat says, but also you can just write them at the very bottom of your web page in the same color as the background, and they're invisible, but they're still working magic for you. And you can even do subliminal stuff like, hire me, I'm the person for this job, you know you want me, you know I'm the right person, read my resume, etc., and you know, songs that would attract success, etc., things like that in the same color. These, you know, I'm going to keep it brief and to the point, and that's the things that came up. I mean, there's a whole lot here, but that's what addresses your issues. I believe in working from the inside out. So if I were to suggest work to you, I would do work, either do it yourself or hire it out. Insight and King Solomon wisdom. And then road opener and steady work. I would do it in that order, work from the inside out. That's the way I always believe in doing it. You work from the inside out. Those are the four works I would recommend for you. You know, and I hope some of this made sense to you.
That's a really good one.
Thank you.
Yeah, King Solomon Wisdom is really good. Steady work, that's a really good product line that are products made for getting a job. And you can use those to dress candles, or you can burn the incense. You could even put a few drops of that bath crystals in that little bath wash that we were talking about earlier. All righty. How about you, Conjurman Ollie? What do you have to recommend for this person to get a job?
Well, I have to say that I love the work that's been given out so far. And I was very much thinking along the same lines, and perhaps is just the way we think. What Kat was mentioning, with five-finger grass, sage, bay leaves, salt, and gravel, and particularly carrying that in your pocket. I'm a big fan of that. Salt and gravel in your pocket is really old school, and it works. It really hasn't let me down, and I've recommended it to clients. And that's just salt and gravel. When you include five-finger grass, sage, bay leaves, and you're doing face washes and hand washes and carrying that in your pocket, you're really taking it to another level. So I think that's fantastic in that regard. So what I would recommend is just a few things to help give you an edge when you go and you're speaking or you get a job. Is one, make sure that you do work at home. So you've prepared your washes. You've lit your candles. Steady work is particularly great in what you're looking for to help find you a job. Something that often people wouldn't associate with it but really works well is victory oil or I can, you can't. Both of those give you an edge, and particularly in a competitive field. So if you would add those components, if you add, for example, you're lighting green candles, you add with steady work, you also put I can, you can, full victory, either one. It gives you that extra edge. It makes you stand out in opposition or in relation to all the other competitors, because jobs are mini competitions, right? They are you versus someone else. So that will definitely give you an edge in regards to that. The other is that you carry the work with you. So you carry what was recommended in your pockets. You wash your hands. I would always recommend just a little bit of Boss Fix oil on your hands. Just a little, not a lot. And you rub it on your hand so that it's nice and, you know, your hands aren't overly oily, but it's nice and right there and you can smell it. And when you meet whoever is your interviewer or your boss or who holds the power over who to hire, you reach out, you grab their hand, making sure that with intent, you touch them with the oil that you just rubbed in their, in your hand, and look them directly in the eyes with a smile. And in your mind, you will repeat, hire me, hire me, hire me, as you say, hello, my name is so-and-so, out verbally. This is a really great way of influencing someone directly. Bossfix works really well. If you can't get your hands on Bossfix, I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. You can just order it online. Commanding Oil is another one that works really well in situations like this. But this is a way to touch them directly. Then, when you're finishing up, get a business card from them. This is really important to establish a link. If you like the job, if you've done the interview, and you're like, yep, that's the one I want, you get the business card and take that back and work on that business card. Put that business card in a sugar jar. Put that business card underneath a candle. That business card is both a direct link to your interviewer as well as a direct link to the company, because it will have the logo of the company on that, so you can work directly with that. And then the final recommendation, and this is a if you feel like doing it, go for it. Some people are really nervous about this and they tend not to do it. But it is very old school and very powerful, and it's Grains of Paradise. You just take a small pinch of it and you place it in your mouth and you chew very lightly. They're very, very, they're small, and they are peppery. They have a kind of gingery, peppery, hot quality to them. So if you're afraid of hot things, don't do this. And then you very carefully spit them out. Now, some people are afraid because they're small, you may end up with little specks of it in your teeth. Just, you know, be cautious, do it, and then go to the bathroom, check that you're all clear so you don't look like you've got gunk in your teeth. But you chew it out, and you very lightly spit it out. Don't go hawking loogies up. It's just very careful. And you know what I mean when you spit out, like, seeds, right? You know how you do it without?
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're spitting those out where they will walk over it. It's really powerful, powerful work, and it's another way of really influencing that person directly. You take all of these together, and you do various components of this, but you work in that strategic fashion, working at home and preparing in advance, preparing your washes, preparing your candles, working with the logo, etc., putting oils on. Then you work directly on the person themselves, whether it's by spitting out Grains of Paradise where they'll walk through it, or touching them with oils, and then you take something back, whether it's a handout they give you or their business card, so that you can continue working on them. This creates
I got to jump in, Ollie, because we're almost out of time. There's another, because she knows Photoshop. Take a photo of yourself in front of the company's building.
Yeah.
If you can't be in front of the company's building because, say, they're someplace else, get a Google Street View picture of the company building and Photoshop yourself standing in front of the company building. Okay.
That's a fantastic.
And then you can use that as part of a on your altar work, and that way works really well. But you got to know Photoshop to be able to do it. And I've recommended that to people, seen them do it, and have fantastic success. Also, taking a little dirt from the company, bringing it to your house along with the business card of the interviewer. All of those things are good ways to work. You can mix a little of that. A dirt from the company with your little things that you're going to carry in your bag. If they give you a call back for an interview, you want to be carrying that. Okay, well, there is our music. So we're out of time, but wow, we've given you a crash course in job getting, and I hope, Annabelle, that you get your job. And
good luck.
One of these things or more is going to be really helpful to you, I'm sure. Okay, we're going to go back to Papa Newt, and he's going to bring on our next client.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 928 in Eastern North Carolina. This is Doris. Doris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so thank you for allowing us to help you with your situation. And
Now, taking a look through your information here, you are a student of Miss Katz. You have spoken to her before when visiting the shop, but not anything with a reading. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And let's see. And I'm so sorry. I'm just reading here that you did have readings from. Okay, you did have readings with Miss Aida and Professor Porterfield, but not about this. Okay, thank you. She writes, I have been really struggling financially for well over a year now, and I can't seem to think straight enough to figure a way out of my situation. I feel very overwhelmed by all the worry, stress, and near constant financial crisis that keep coming at me. I'm sure something's got to give, but what? What is happening with my financial situation, and how can I fix this? Turn it back to you, Miss Kat.
All right. Well, you know, we sometimes have themes for a show, and this time the theme seems to be economic and employment-oriented.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, there's some days when everybody is weeping and moaning about their boyfriend, but today it's we're looking at people who are having difficulties making it financially and getting enough income from employment. So, Doris, I have a couple of questions for you before I turn this over to one of our readers here. About how old are you?
I'm 44.
44?
Mm-hmm.
And what field of employment do you generally work in?
I'm a teacher.
Okay.
I work at a local community college.
Okay. And what sign of the zodiac are you?
I'm a Cancer.
A Cancer. All right. Having figured all that out, let's turn this over to Ali for a reading.
Thanks, Ms. Kat. And thank you for the questions. I think that clarifies quite a bit. And you said you're a teacher in a community college. What subject do you teach, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, up until recently, I was teaching English in the GED prep program that they have there for remediation. And
mm-hmm.
But currently, I'm teaching defensive driving classes, which sounds strange, but.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And the reason I asked that is I'm also in higher education and academia in particular, and what field you're in does make a big difference. Some fields are thriving right now, and some fields are not. And that can play a big factor here. Your issues here stem from something in your life being overturned, you being thrown off balance, and then that carrying over and sticking with you. And we see this, I've confirmed this in a couple of different ways. The first is I've pulled some cards. The very first card is the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups indicate a shift or a walking away. It shows us an individual walking away from golden goblets, and they're leaving behind their source of security, their source of happiness, the source of comfort and wisdom, and they're walking into uncertain land. And it is a decision that is not the best of decisions. So there is a shift that has happened in your life that has taken you away from the source of your comfort, from the source of your success, and led you to more uncertain times. It's something that has happened in your past that is now continuing to haunt you in your present. Now, you said your astrological sign was a Cancer. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Cancers in particular, and we've talked about this in the show in the past, Cancers are particularly susceptible to having their, you know, they're particularly vulnerable. When something goes wrong, they carry that with them. And that's something with that Cancers deal with a lot. They also can be thrown off kilter. They are a very powerful lunar sign. Once they're on track, though, they're a wonderful sign. They make happy homes, happy families. They have security, but they need to find it. And until they find it, they can be deeply, deeply vulnerable. And so in particular, being a Cancer, you can have your life thrown off kilter and then have it stay that way for a while. It's a sign that is vulnerable to that. So the Eight of Cups then carries over to the Five of Cups. And this shows the person who is mourning the loss. This is the stress you're feeling. This is the anguish that you're feeling. This is the anxiety you're feeling. It casts a pall over you. For this is a man mourning the spilt goblets with milk, water, and wine. And they're unable to see the opportunities that are right behind them. Your emotional state, and this is very typical of Cancers, the fact that there was this shift, the fact that there was this change that has happened that's brought about hardship, that's brought about stress, that's brought about uncertainty, has caused an emotional state. And that emotional state is now casting a pall over everything. And so what we need to do is to work first internally to remove the emotional component there, the stuff that'll continue to haunt you, the stuff that acts as a sort of dark, wet cloak that's thrown over you and keeping you from really making a change in your life so that you can get out of that state of financial difficulty, get out of that state of fiscal difficulties, and move forward. And the final card that we have is the Six of Wands. And the Six of Wands is a positive card. It tells us that victory can be had here, but you need to have help. You're going to need people that march alongside you. For this is a Roman triumph. And the person is standing or riding on their horse with the staff and the wreath on top. They have achieved victory, but they're surrounded by the people who are working with them, who have aided them in that regard. So working with a root worker is highly recommended here. Working with someone who can assist you, who may be expert, whether that's a financial advisor or a therapist or anyone along those lines. People look to multiple people, not a singular individual, to help you in this, because that is going to be the key to opening up, finding a really strong support network. Someone that will help you deal with the emotional aspects of it, the anxiety and the stress. It's often, and this is easier said than done, right? Saying, don't stress about this when you're having these financial difficulties. But it is important, it's an important component of the work, because that anxiety and stress that you're feeling, it's really clouding things and making it unable for you to really find opportunities, because the opportunities are there. You just might not see them, or you may see them in a jaundiced way. And then the final thing I'm going to say is that I did a quick geomantic reading, and the core kind of secret here that was revealed is Rubius. And Rubius tells me that, yes, something happened that has thrown you off kilter. It is literally a cup that has been overthrown. So this is really something in your past that you need to interrogate that has really shifted. It was a loss, whether it's a change of position, whether it was something that you lost, but that is what's kept you in this state, this kind of precarious emotional and financial state. And you need to deal with that emotionally and then look to allies who will help you with opportunities. That's what I see here. I'm going to turn this over to John C. Germain, who is going to do the reading, and then you're going to have Ms. Kat give you some group worker advice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Conjurman Ali. I got to tell you, what I've done is I've drawn from the Elder Futhark. You know, what are usually, when you think of runes, you think of the Elder Futhark. And what I have pretty much confirms everything Conjurman Ali tells you. I have Ratho reverse. Ratho, in a very simple sense, signifies forward movement. It's a wheel turning. And reverse means your forward movement was halted. And what we want to look at next is the next one is the Sieg. Sieg is a lightning bolt, which means some shocking event occurred to halt your forward movement. This is like a lightning bolt that hits your house. And Sieg can be positive, but after something like this, this was some shocking event that interfered with a normal. Your life was doing fine until this event, and then boom. The next one we have is Peritho, and Peritho looks like either a dice cup rolling the dice or a gate that was carelessly left open and the cattle escapes. And what this means is that logic, reason, common sense may not help you here. You're going to have to take a chance. You're going to have to roll the dice and take a risk. And that's going to be very hard for you at this time to trust that you can take a chance. This is literally a roll of the dice for you. And so the past strategies may not work for you. Things that worked for you in the past, you know, you say, okay, these things worked in the past, which may be why you can't move forward, because you're trying old strategies. This is something new. You got to shake up the dice and roll it. And the last one we have, which is to me, it indicates conditions and things is Urus, and it's reversed. And Urus is the ox. It means that vital aggression, the animal strength, and it's reversed, which means that you may just not have confidence in yourself to do this. So as Congressman Ali said, you may need help. You may need supportive friends or support of some sort to give you that support that you need, that shove. You know how like you have a kid and you say, okay, you need to jump in the pool, and you go, I don't think I can do it, so you shove the kid in the pool. That's the way we did in the old day, you know, sink or swim kind of thing. This may be a situation like that, a sink or swim. But, you know, once you're in, you're fine. There's kind of like performance anxiety here, I think, and it's because of this event that really shook your self-confidence. And for you to get it back, you're going to have to throw yourself into an unknown environment, which is why it's the dice cup. It's something you've never encountered before. And convince yourself that, yes, I can land on my feet. And, yes, I can deal with these new challenges. And, yes, I can win. But to do that, I think, at first, you're going to need to have a little bit of a cheerleading section. Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. Okay. And that's all I have to say for you. Sure. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know. Good luck with that. I think I want to tell you that overall this shows success. You know, I don't see anything here. And believe me, there are runes that would say, okay, you're not going to win this. But none of that turned up. This is you're going to win. Okay?
Yay.
Yay. Oh, I'm your cheerleader on this one. I'll be your cheerleader. Yay for you, Doreese. Go get them. Get them. Because I think the movement's going to pick up again.
Yeah, this is a difficult one as far as root work goes. First of all, go back and replay the part of the show where we gave all those job-getting ideas because there's something in there probably good for you, and I don't want to repeat those ideas. But what I'm seeing here is that you have, like many Cancerians, and I think that the word that John used was vulnerable, and it's a very good word to describe Cancerians. They are very sympathetic people. If they receive a difficult shock to their system, such as divorce, a loss of a job, a changing job, they do have a tendency to mourn and not go back and have to walk away. And this may be hard. Most Cancerians don't enjoy the process. They are not like an Aries who goes, oh, new fields to conquer, you know, whatever. They are really emotional about it. So I'm going to recommend that you work with somebody. And I'm not going to, you know, call a name, but anybody who's a good root worker should be able to help you if they're a job-getting type of root worker. Because what you need is someone in your corner to strengthen you. And I'm sure that someone like John would be good. The person who just comes to mind to me, because I was just having a conversation with her before the show, is Angela Marie Horner, who's a member of AIR, is a Cancer. And we were talking about another Cancer that I had just done a reading for who'd had a similar situation to you. And Angela Marie mentioned that she had been a nurse's aide and had to quit when she saw some malpractice on the job, which resulted in a tragic circumstance that she was unable to help because it was her day off when it happened, and she felt so collapsed about this, she stopped being a nurse's aide, and she went on to do other things. And that is a Cancer. They'll look at something and they'll just go, oh no, I can't fix it. I've got to go. And I think that what we're seeing here is a condition, and again, everyone has been very direct in telling you this. It's a condition about needing a support to lean on. Not that you're a weak person, but what cancers offer is help, sympathy, caring. They make great teachers, great social workers, great nurses, mm-hmm. great therapists. They also make very sympathetic root doctors. They make wonderful cooks and bakers because they're about nurturing. If you are not allowed to nurture others, you know, to your best ability, it will turn in on you. And that's what these readings have shown, is that you got a shock to your system. Now, I would recommend that you work with a coach who's going to give you kind of like a maybe a weekly check-in, okay, about how, because I'm going to say something, driving defensively, what a great term for a Cancer. They're always known about the crab with its shell. They're very defensive people, right? But teaching English probably is more to your liking. And I believe languages is an art that you know. So you want to try to get a better job that's more outward reaching, okay? So I'm not going to give any specific root work here because I've already gave a whole lot about job getting. Go back and listen to that. But what I would like you to do is to work on your own courage as best as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And because that is a difficult thing. That's a very difficult thing, is to work on your courage. In the chat room, Nagashiva suggested Crucible of Courage. Yes, I'm going to say something about Crucible of Courage. This is interesting. The man who designed the label for Lucky Mojo Crucible of Courage oil is a Cancer. And it has a crucible. And I said, just draw a crucible, you know. And he said, I'm going to put a lion on it. And he did. He put a lion on it because he's a Cancer and he loved that Leo energy right next door. So, yeah, work with Crucible of Courage products. That will help strengthen you. And,
can I just give a real recommendation, brief one, based off of what you just said? Because I thought the Crucible of Courage is such a fantastic recommendation. Get yourself some Queen Elizabeth root. Get yourself some Angelica root, violet leaves. Brew that into a tea and add in a couple drops of Crucible of Courage oil and power oil. Because you need something that'll kind of soak this out of you. And let yourself soak in that bath. You can add other stuff to it as you'd like. Make that your base. And let that really kind of draw out anything that's holding you back, any doubts, any uncertainties, any fears. And then get out of that bath. And I want you to get yourself a Queen Elizabeth root that you work with regularly, whether it becomes part of a mojo hand or you put on an altar. You can anoint it with Crucible of Courage oil, anoint your feet every day before you go out to work, because that'll give you a boost. And then the other thing I'd recommend is Van oil. Van oil is great for turning things around. It's also got this powerful, like, empowering, uplifting quality. Add that as something you put on your feet before you go out for the day. It's kind of armor that you don don
okay.
So
I'm taking
really
mad notes.
Good. Yeah. Well, you can always check the chat log, and you'll see some ideas in the chat log. We've written them all down. I would recommend seriously that you work with a root worker. You don't need to be paying a lot of money, but work with someone so that you know that at all times, even when you feel a little collapsed or a little shaky, that somebody has work on the altar for you. Okay? That's what's so important. You're going to need that. Crucible of Courage, I love that. I love the idea of the Queen Elizabeth, the Angelica, and the Vanaman. Those are women strengtheners, and you just need that little something. Now, turn in your homework and graduate, dear.
Yeah, it's great. Good advice.
You know I'm always going to say that. Okay.
Yeah, but completion
right.
is very important for where you are in your life. So, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to turn this over to our electronic technical department.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Contraman Ollie, Sundays 3 to 4:30; Kendallo's Corner with Kendallo Kavisa, Michael Carell, and Lady A, Mondays 5 to 7; The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6; In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7; Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7. The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays 6 to 7. And Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. all times Pacific. Add 3 hours for Eastern. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And now it's time for our free spell segment with John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee. Take it away, John.
Okay, how much time do I have? Because I have a story about this spell. How much time do I have?
Well, you can look at your rundown, but it says you can go from 422 to 426.
Oh, dear. Okay. Well, anyway, this particular spell saved my life once. I was on the road, and I found a stick that was in the shape of this particular sigil, and I put it on the dashboard of my car, and all the way home, I saw a spirit on the road that looked like my grandfather, and it had to be a spirit because it looked like my grandfather, and I said, is that my grandfather? And I pulled off the road and stayed the night in a hotel rather than come the rest of the way home, and there was a 21-car pileup on the interstate that night.
Oh, my.
About 10 miles up from where I pulled over. And that particular sigil is the subject of the spell tonight. There is a rune from the Elder Futhark called Eol, which is spelled E-O-L-H, and it's probably one of the most versatile overall symbols of protection, and it looks like the peace sign from the 60s. And it is a straight line with two forks to either side. Just think of the peace sign from the 60s. And it is a beneficial influence and a protective symbol. And I found a little stick that was in that. And I was very heavily involved in writing runic palmistry at the time. So runes were on my mind everywhere. And I saw that and I put it on the dashboard of my car. So what you want to do is get a stick. It would be the best way to do it. I mean, you can get Eol in any form. You can carve it, draw it, et cetera. But find a stick that looks like Eol, looks like a peace sign. You don't have to have a circle around it, obviously. And, do you know the peace sign originally was designed by Gerald Horton to mean nuclear disarmament?
That's right, ND.
Mm-hmm. ND, the semaphore for ND. And so it was, even then, a very powerful peace, protection, stop. So you will either anoint this or smoke it in very powerful protective influences. And what I like to do with this, it's got three branches. You can anoint or smoke it in power incense, in firewall protection, and Haznohana, either oil or incense. And I like the Haznohana. I like to use oil because you can just take the oil down the middle, to the left and to the right. Haznohana down the middle, fiery wall to the left, power to the right, and you can put this over your door, or you can put it over your windows, but over your door is fine, and it will protect your house from evil and negative influences. Furthermore, it will attract peace and serenity into your house.
That's a wonderful thing. Now, somebody's immediately going to ask, what is Haznohana? And that's an interesting thing. If you read Haznohana is actually Japanese, and it means, I believe, white flower, night blooming white jasmine is usually
considered. It's
not blooming
jasmine,
right? Night blooming jasmine. And so we make it as a jasmine oil, but Haznohana, some people call it a lotus flower because it's white. It's probably a blend of white flowers. If you've ever taken lessons in perfumery, you'll know that white flower blends are very popular, and they have a long history. So you can blend other white flowers together. Haznohana is one of those names that's kind of generic, but there are many, many different things that are used to make it, but they're always white flowers. So, in fact, in the chat room, it says, Nagashiva asked, like Chinese white flower. Yes, white flower analgesic is made with white flowers also. A little bit of camphor also. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a wonderful old remedy for predictiveness. Haznohana allows you to see the future. It's a wonderful protection, too.
And
so
money attraction.
Thanks for bringing that in. There's many ways to make Haznohana. There's not just one way. It's just,
right.
One of those generic terms.
But isn't it necessary to always have not blooming jasmine in it for it to be true
Hasnahana? Yes, it is. You should have, yeah. Hasnahana always has jasmine in it. What comes after the jasmine, that's on the maker. But it's always jasmine, absolutely. In any case, but let's go back to the sigil. This sort of bird foot looking symbol is what you're talking about. Now, when
right.
we talk
yes.
about it, I'm going to ask you a question. And this is a simple yes. question. Do you put it with the forks upward or the forks downward if you were going to put it over your door?
The forks upward.
Upward.
Yeah. Now,
okay,
interestingly, the peace sign has the forks downward. Now, because the eel reversed can mean that your protection has been removed or your protection is weak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, the peace sign is for people who wish to not, you know, it's nonviolent and all that.
Yeah. Now, sometimes it will come up reversed, and I see it that there's a negative influence being directed toward you. When I do a reading and it's reversed, I say it's time to do protection work because your protection is down and there's something being thrown at you. And, you know, usually
right.
people will say, yeah, there's been like a bad run of incidences. You know, there's the three levels. You know, there's crossed, there's crossed and hexed and cursed. And
right,
I don't think I've ever run across anybody who's been cursed. But
oh,
you know, the hex. I bet. There's hexed and crossed, but you know.
Yeah, what I would call jinxed. Yeah, crossed and
jinxed.
And,
yeah.
But
yeah.
I've seen people who have been absolutely cursed. But in any case, yeah. So this symbol eel, or this sigil, you could carve it. And I'm
yes.
going to tell you another way to make it that I've seen it done in wax. I've seen, I had a friend who would take wax from a candle, burn a candle, you know, protection mm-hmm. candle, whatever, and take some of the leftover wax, soften it, and make a disc, and then carve into that disc the symbol of what that candle was burned for, and then use that as a talisman. A little hard
right.
disk of wax. Just another
yeah.
way to do it. There are many ways to make these things. And, of course, if you had a natural stick, like you said, that's probably the most powerful because that's a sign from nature.
Yeah, and, you know, the runes were originally used for magic. They weren't originally used for divination. They were used for magic. Divination
All
came
right.
later.
All right. Now, another thing that you could do if you want to is to get a little bone disc or something, carve it on the bone and wipe it with black ink. That's another way. Embroider it. You can embroider that symbol. It is a protection symbol. It can be used anywhere. I'm a great fan of embroidery, but that's just me. All right. Well, here's our music.
Great idea.
Yeah, and we're gonna listen to Papa Newt give us our closing statement, and then we're going to come back, and we're all going to take a moment, say goodbye. So let's take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, John St. Germain of johnstgermain.com in Knoxville, Tennessee, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Deacon Millett of fouraltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, bringing us the topic on safe travel spells. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at theconjurman.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jugman playing the Jugman Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. It's always a pleasure to have you as our announcer. Hope things are going wonderfully well in lovely Nebraska. Tell Charlie hello for me, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you, John St. Germain, for joining us. We've got all of your various links posted in the chat log. If anybody hearing this cannot access the chat log, just look up John, J-O-N, not J-O-H-N, but J-O-N, St. Germain. You can find him on Facebook. You can find him on the interwebs all over the place. Thank you,
everywhere.
Conjure Man Ali, for being our lovely co-host one more time.
Oh, always a pleasure.
It's always wonderful to hear what you have to put in the way of divination and root work. Okay, folks, well, that's about it for me. I only have to say good night.
Good night, old.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Sleep well.